the edge of our galaxy. There is a battleground where alien warriors compete for the ultimate prize.
I am champion!
Will a human do battle in the arena? Now, where is the challenger?
Where humans have lost.
You ever thought about the arena, Steve?
It ain't gonna work. This guy's a human.
What it takes to win.
You're talking about arena fighting. It's not for me.
For you.
You've got speed, you got muscle.
You could go right to the top. You're going to work for me.
Nobody tells me what to do.
Someone tried to poison him.
Sorry, kid, but I'm afraid your fighting days are over.
He's not gonna get away with this. The fight is between me and Rogo.
You can win this fight.
He won't beat
Now we kill him.
Arena.
Come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome back, ladies and germs, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Woo! I'm your host, Colin. I'm surrounded by the internet radio superstars, including
Travis,
Brent.
This is Tom, guest starring again.
Still here.
Gary.
And every weekend, the freak show happens. Every Saturday night, we gather in a dank, dark basement. We watch a movie, and then we gather around a bar, drink a lot of booze, and
talk
about it for edification and listening enjoyment. This week, Travis picked the movie. Travis, what did you show us this week?
Ooh, we watched Charles Band's and Erwin Yablin's Arena.
Arena.
There's a lot of movies called Arena.
So you want the one from
This is 1989 by executive producer Charles Band and
Erwin
Yablin. Okay, so
he's famous for
He produced the Halloween movies.
Charles Band is famous for producing
The Puppet Master and the Full Moon movies. All the Full Moon movies, even today, even like the really shitty ones that you look past, like Ragdoll,
as opposed to the normally shitty ones,
Graveyard Diggers and Killjoy.
At this point in his career, Charles Band had before Full Moon Pictures, had Empire Pictures, and he I don't know where the guy got this money or whatever, but he bought the Dino De Laurentiis had a studio in Rome called, I believe it was like Cinecetta or something like that. It basically means cinema studio, and it was a city or Cinema City.
Cool.
And so it was this whole production facility in Rome where they shot Danger Diabolic, which we watched on the show.
Oh, yeah?
Barbarella.
Barbarella's awesome.
Fellini actually shot, I think it was like Satyricon what's the fucking Fellini movie, the 8.5?
Did we actually watch Barbarella on the Freak Show?
No, we watched.
As a group, we watched.
We watched Flash Gordon. It's Flash Gordon with boobs.
So Band bought this facility in the 80s and made Reanimator there, and he made Dolls there, I want to say, and he made Arena and a couple other movies.
Charles Band helped Brian Yuzna make them?
This was, I want to say this is before he teamed up with Brian Yuzna.
Did Brian Yuzna do Reanimator?
Is that Brian Yuzna? He may be like a producer on it. Yeah, but it's an Empire picture.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because Richard Band, Charles' brother, did the music for both Arena, tie-in, and Reanimator, and a bunch of these other...
this movie...
Oh, Richard Band did?
Travis.
Yes.
Travis proposed this movie to us with the title of the slugline of space boxing.
It's Rocky.
That's how you know
you've got the right arena
if it's about boxing in space. You got the wrong movie.
If he said when it went once, it's he Western said like movie. Space boxing and Rocky in space. I was fucking sold, dude. I was like, I was stoked. Oh, like,
okay, on the past, shit, probably the past few podcasts, we've kind of talked about how when you get into these sci-fi movies or you get into any fantasy movie and you like it so much, you get into the whole universal aspect of it where you, oh, shit, you know, like, let's get past the evil empire and the prophecies and the really special shit.
The normal things that are in let's most sci-fi. Let's just do
they always make it, you're only going to see sci-fi if it's the most absolute right. special fucking thing going
I
on
I just want to see a movie about pod racing.
You know, in this movie, it's just about
really?
Boxing. It's about a space station that has like fucking intergalactic space boxing with different aliens. And one of the reasons this movie catches my imagination is I've always loved the storyline. And like Green Lantern comics share the same thing. The idea that, oh, humans have never like exceeded in this. But right. like, oh, just the willpower of this one human is going to like shake the foundations of what we know. Yeah. And like, and I don't know, that just captures my imagination. Like, yeah, once we humans get into the vastness of space, we'll be so fucking like unimportant, or we'll feel so small because God knows what other races or what other technologies are out there.
Well, and
so,
you hit it good with Green Lantern, because in the Green Lantern Corps, the humans are considered scum when Hal Jordan first comes out to become a Green Lantern.
Yeah, the Earth is like, Earth is so young. It's not so considered backwards. It's not considered worthy of joining the rest of the intergalactic society. And this is almost like 2001 Space Odyssey is about us joining the intergalactic world. And like, so this movie's always just captured my imagination when it comes down to that aspect. And, the space boxing, yeah, just like in the Mos Eisley scene, you got all these aliens sitting in a bar, and people get so interested in these each individual aliens, and like even how minute either one of the characters can be. You know, I like that idea of like, let's focus in on like something small that would happen in the cosmos. Something like, hey, there's boxing. It's just a sports thing. It's just a whatever. And the idea of this movie is that aliens can fight on equal terms because they have a handicap beam that, you know, equals their power. If some of them have cybernetic enhancements or just whatever, some of them are huge, just huge creatures. So these handicap beams equal it out. And the movie pretty much starts with, we have a champion named Horn, who, guess what?
And he looks like Jason X. Anybody? Anybody?
He kind of looks, but Jason X looks like him.
Okay.
And the idea that he's half a cyborg, he's like a complete down the center, half a fucking cyborg, half a weird alien creature.
Yeah, furry alien.
And Jason doesn't have any horns.
And Jason is a fur. But the cybernetic cap, sorry, the cybernetic cap looks like Super Jason.
It does.
So this guy's like, he's like the champion of the fucking cosmos. And of course,
who does he fight early on?
He fights Spinner.
It's a guy like named Spinner.
Yeah, Spinner, but he looks like
Danger Will Robinson, right?
Yeah, well, that's what,
it's like a mix between
Robbie
him
or is that Robbie, the
Robbie the robot
fish creature?
But you remember the black hole?
I don't remember the black hole.
Had these little robots. I can't remember what they were called. They flew around the
Dude, no one remembers black holes.
Yeah, I'm saying nobody remembers black holes.
I actually remember this.
Because didn't Star Wars come out around the same time as the black hole? So
black hole was a couple years later. It was Maximilian.
Empire probably came out around
robot. They were on the Cygnus. It was
Pick on the soon to retire side of the table. If I remember it.
If you remember out there, if listeners out there, if you remember it, write into us.
I remember the black hole. Oh,
okay. Let Colin and me know we weren't the only ones alive when it came out.
All right. Anyway.
So
looks like Robert from the black hole.
So we come in on our hero, Steve Armstrong, that's working at like a fucking Space Hardee's, or it looks like
he can't get a number 7 done for.
Well, he keeps on. He's watching the boxing. He's watching.
A shitty employee.
Well, because everybody they're so infatuated.
Tom has got to be management. This is the second time he has called out shitty workers.
Well, the forearm guy, because there's a forearm guy. I mean,
asbestos crew.
Yeah, I know. notes like, this movie sucks because that guy was never able to successfully deliver his fast food.
So the fast, it was owned by Shorty, right? That's the only name we know him by,
right? Yeah, Shorty is a forearm alien.
Forearm, which of course is the classic, like, you either have two dummy arms or you got, like, a guy standing behind.
What I will give you for the supposedly having two dummy arms, they were pretty animated. They were. I'm sure it was somebody behind him with another set of arms, but it looked awesome. Well, it really did.
I think they really chose, like, sometimes they had, like, let's say one real arm was like the top left, a dummy arm was the bottom left, where a dummy arm was the top right and a real arm was the bottom right, where they kept switching it around. That way they really kept it, like,
the illusion going.
Yeah, they didn't just have the two bottom arms be the dummy fucking arms.
But sometimes it was all four doing something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In the close-ups, I think someone was behind you.
In the close-ups, there was somebody behind.
Yeah, and they always had something, like, figured out, like, if he was doing a deck of cards, or, you know, they always had this really nice, like, it was such an easy train. It's one of those simple special effects that would be so fucking easy to do, but just the idea that they went ahead and did it, you look past it, but it's like, shit, you know, I thought they did it, you know, really well. And that's, like, the strong thing that this movie has going for it. If you've seen this movie, it's like, okay, you know, hey, you know, it's a fun movie. But what it has going for it is what I like to call the Screaming Mad George crew. And the Screaming Mad George crew involves Steve Wang, which Steve Wang worked on the original Predator costume. And then Screaming Mad George, they went on to do, like, if you've seen Guyver. Did they do Nightmare 4?
I didn't see. We'll have to look
that up. Because I know they did. I know they did, like, the Guyver 1 and Guyver 2 Dark Hero.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that was really, I mean, that's how I followed Steve Wang. I was like, Predator is so fucking awesome. And he's trying to learn these other movies he did. It's like, you can't get too far. But still, it's
so
like,
he worked for Stan Winston Studios and for Predator.
But you could tell his quality of work, though, I won't say. Even for a low-budget movie, it's like, holy shit.
They still pulled off some good creatures for a low-budget movie.
Yeah, that's actually the thing that I think is the most standout about this movie. I mean, again, I didn't know anything about it before tonight watching this thing, and I'm like, the makeups, I mean, the not Horn. Well, yeah, what's Horn? Horn has, like, an animatronic head.
Well, but he has a Ninja Turtle. He's got a mouth that's articulated. One's almost cybernetic. The one on the bottom.
He has a mouth that's articulated.
Blinking eyes.
Other guys have, like, you know, they have these pretty decent, I mean, like, Star Wars quality.
Yeah, Slug was my favorite.
Weasel was really, makeup was really well
and
done.
And he's played by Armin Shimmerman, who was he was Quark on Star Trek.
The Ferengi bartender.
Yeah. Yep. And he was also the principal for a couple seasons of Buffy the Vampire.
The cricket.
Well, That's Slug.
Well, so it's this gigantic, I mean, it stands taller than a man, you know, and it's like, it looks like a giant cricket.
Right.
He's got the two legs.
Well, I love how they had to spray him down before the fight. They had to keep him moist. That was a cool.
Yeah, that's a very good, suit / puppet thing.
It's
really good. I mean, I would say, like, this is something you would see in, like, a Star Wars movie. It's a step above, and this is what you were saying earlier, you know, it's like you like these stories that
you
take place outside of the...
I almost see this movie better than Real Steel.
Is it every movie better
than... Well...
I'm glad you touched on that. I do want to go back to that later.
Well, what I was going to say is, like, Star Trek... any one of the Star Treks that we're running on Babylon 5, which this has a connection to because Claudia Christian is in this movie. It was on Babylon 5. Yep. Like, they would have, like, an individual episode of those shows would be, like, somebody from our crew got kidnapped by this race that likes to throw people into an arena, and now they have to fight The Rock. I think The Rock on, like, Voyager had to fight, like, 7 or 9, or whatever the fuck.
Really?
Or Chakotay, or, you know, one of those deals. Yeah. So, I mean, this was a plot. This is, you know, these type of movies are, they've all been done as, like, episodes of these long-running science fiction shows. But because it's a movie and they've got, you know, a little bit better budget, they're able to spend more time.
They're able to put in a montage.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say almost all their budget.
Good music.
I mean, it's,
where
to
was
me,
Survivor?
It seems like a lot of their budget went to the costumes. It had to. I mean, the costumes were so, compared to everything else, the costumes were fantastic.
Well, when they had Jade sing, that's, they blew all their budget on something else, because.
Better than say,
Howard like Berger makeup application on Freddy Krueger, Kevin Yeager production. So he's part of Christopher Biggs.
Berger, he's can be. He's the
That
was Freddy Four.
Freddy Four.
Yeah.
So are we looking at Arena?
Oh no, like, no! I was trying to figure out.
I like reading things to the public. I don't know what I'm reading.
Just throw it out there. Now you know.
Brent, who did you say? Who did you say was the Arena guy?
It's Steve Wang.
Okay,
Steve Wang. Sorry about that.
But since they time the movie about pod racing, Star Trek Voyager. There's an episode where they do have a race based episode where, like, one of the characters, there's a pilot wants to race, and they find this intergalactic race or whatever, and they.
It's like a weird analogy. When I was playing, I remember when I was playing Grand Theft Auto 3. Like, what I was more addicted to in the game than the actual game was going to the horse track and, like, just trying to, like, win shit tons of money off of far out odds. And, like, so it is the idea that, like, yeah, even though you got this whole universe to explore, God knows, it's like, it's kind of nice to kind of, like, hey, let's look at, it's almost in a way looking at a little character drama, you know? I mean, it's not, like, so fucking thought out or anything like that, but it's still, like, when you got this huge universe that God knows how many, like, mythologies can exist in this universe, no matter how many, like, different planets or different whatever, all they're doing is focusing on the fact that, hey, aliens box in space, and it's broadcast on TV, and...
So you found a way to escape in your escape from reality? That's what it sounds like.
It's just
cool. No, it's cool. I think that's because like you said, you got the whole big universe.
It's enjoying the simple thing. It's the same way. Exactly. It's the same way. Previously, in other podcasts, we talk about movies that take a social commentary. It's the same way. It's like, okay, I could talk about civil rights, but mask it in Mutants and Monsters.
Yep.
And this is the same way. I could take a boxing sports movie or whatever. Same like Teen Wolf, right? Teen Wolf takes a fucking basketball movie and coats it in this werewolf analogy of a guy's being aggressive.
Well, and the guy being the show-off, and then he tones it down for the whole team. Yeah.
So this just like, you know, it's just a nice little like, oh man, we're just going to grow this pocket corner of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Watch these guys fight. You know, then it has
man versus monster.
Man fucking machines.
Well, like, I think you're right. Yeah, this movie, in especially with the intro, because they have a ship go by that looks like the
Bird of Prey. Oh, no.
The Carillion Corvette.
Carillion
Corvette with the back. The Blockade Runner. So it looks, the way this movie is presented with the aliens and like a lot of scenes that kind of represent like the Mos Eisley. And they got an alien that looks like the Mon Calamari. They got a lot of aliens that look like the aliens from the Cantina scene. So like, just like on a base level, because they don't really identify where this universe is. This could be, for all intents and purposes, in the Star Wars universe.
It could.
Right, yeah.
And
well, that's the thing, too. Sorry for you.
Well, I'm sure that was in the back of their head while making this film.
That won't be the worst thing that happens.
You know, obviously these films are being influenced by Star Wars.
That was my point.
Well, this is 100%, 89.
Yeah, yeah,
so
but in 1989, because I mean, later, even watching this now, I'm like, I don't see
Star
people
Wars was
making.
Well, yeah, but
83.
Star Wars was 73.
It was Return of the Jedi. So I don't see anybody making this type of movie now, but back in 1989, the Star Wars thing was still fresh enough that they were like, you know, there was still a market for this kind of, we're going to make a thing that takes place in space, and there's going to be, you know, aliens everywhere, which you really don't see now. I mean, even like the new Star Trek movies kind of downplay that, but that's the only thing that is like that, where like, you know, people are going, because I mean, like the Riddick movies, all the other people are humans, you know?
Yeah.
There's no like, we're living here and there's all these different alien species.
And the idea that this doesn't just follow the whole like, oh, they're all anthropomorphic aliens. No, these things look different. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can see how a human can be in the suit, you know, right. It's got two arms, two legs. But still, they don't just match, like, it's an ugly looking human. But right. They look anatomically
they
different.
Never
like,
describe
that looks insectoid, that looks reptilian.
The only planet they actually talk about in this whole movie is Earth.
Earth and Shorty, who's like the Mickey sort of character that trains Steve Armstrong after he like owes him a debt of saving his life in the Space Hardee's or in the cafe or whatever.
The Space Hardee's.
It looks like a Space Hardee's to me. I just gotta.
Are they serving sushi? They're serving sushi.
I don't know what the fuck that is. It's like eggs and coffee. Yeah. I don't know. Space the, eggs and coffee.
The fish man shows up. He's like, hey, last time I saw someone like you, you're on a hook.
Yeah, and that's how Steve Armstrong gets into this whole thing is like a weird fish guy gets into it with Shorty, the barman or the cafe manager. Steve Armstrong kicks his ass. Steve Armstrong, who's our fucking blonde, heroic, like Flash Gordon looking. He almost looks like Christopher fucking Reeves, man.
There we go. There's the connection.
Half a fucking chubby. Just the idea that he could have played. Half. This guy could have played Superman. Hey, he didn't wear the S, okay? You only get the full on chub if you wear the S. Okay, you only got.
The full money.
Yeah, you only
get that with the S.
Only Gerard, Christopher, George Reeves, Alec, or.
The S and the curl in the
head. So,
wow!
it's a little. Trust me. So Steve Armstrong kicks this fish guy's ass, and it turns out that this fish guy was like the prospect that the
Claudia Christensen
from Babylon 5. It was her
she's
prospect.
She's a manager. Boxing manager.
It was her prospect. So they're like, well, they just go to kick his ass first.
Yeah,
initially.
But because he beat the other guy's ass, he's like, wow, he can actually fight. We need to get him.
We haven't had a fucking human that good in the ring for 50 years. And I like how, even though, like, in the underground, because, I mean, I like that how when Shorty's taking the dude to his apartment, Steve, to his apartment, I like how they kind of, it feels like they keep going into the underground,
deeper
like,
the satellite or
to
whatever
the fucking,
it is,
like in the viaducts of the fucking space station. You
I
know?
Live in an air vent.
They're like,
come
in
on,
the,
shack up with me.
That's the poor, if you're living in a space station, the poor zone is like in the viaducts.
All right, but now, okay, help me out. Because
why
mean,
was Brain Dude robbing that dude's place? Because he didn't see, like, super pissed off the Brain Dude was in there.
Well, Brain scammed with Shorty is what it seemed like. And then when Shorty didn't want to keep up with the scams, Brain is the one that sounded like Goblin.
Skull.
Skull's the name.
Yeah,
he looks like I thought that that makeup looked exactly like the guys from the last Starfighter who were. You remember the ones who with the thing came down?
You
like,
gotta see those guys.
We die.
Those guys' skin almost looked
like that. Except they weren't wearing the helmet.
Their skin almost looked like a tree trunk.
That's what I thought this
was. No, he looked more like. I mean, he almost looked
like. 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, like almost like a yellow skin.
Almost like
lighting.
One of the witches from Evil Dead.
Okay. Yeah, he looked like a witch.
Or Army of Darkness.
Anyway, so there's a mobster. This is why I like without bringing up
this is what
guy,
I was going to ask.
There's a mobster named Rogor, right?
He played Gul Dukat in Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Do you know the actor's name?
Mark.
A guy.
That dude.
So Rogor. So he's like the space like mafia dude. He's the Don on the space.
Well, he it's funny you say Don because to me he struck me as the space Don King. He did what had to be
done.
That's
for sure.
In boxing,
he wanted to make sure to have the best fighters with whatever. So when I get it. Jesus Christ. So Steve Armstrong, like the Shorty guy's like, you saved my life at the bar. I owe you a grit of gratitude. That's what us Nebulonians, whatever the fuck they call Nebulons or whatever. Like, we owe you that. So, but he's like, I can't do you any favors because I owe this Rogor guy or whatever the fuck is
it? Rogor, yeah.
We owe this guy like $18,000. So that's when Steve Armstrong.
Krugers.
18,000 Krugers. Yeah. So that's when Steve Armstrong's like, fuck it, fine, I'll fight for you because we need to pay this guy off. So So this guy
Jesus
can
Christ,
get us.
You remember this movie better than I do.
It's because I've been watching this movie since I was like.
He's remembering it better than
I've been watching it since I was 12. So this is residual memory, not based on tonight's viewing. Because full disclosure, we're doing two in a row for.
keeping the illusion alive. Hey.
We're keeping the illusion alive, but still, these guys are really
good. And we're really drunk right now.
They were super drunk.
Full disclosure.
We're pretty goddamn drunk. Travis said the movie would be better if you had a few in you. So we made sure we had plenty.
Yeah, we had plenty, by the way.
So now it's like
I'm sitting there watching it, going like, okay, you gotta fucking remember, like, wait. Who is this guy? What's happening?
Long we would be able to keep that secret.
I just wanted to be longer than the show.
But
I just want, like I said, okay, I believe in full disclosure.
Well, the thing that I remember from the movie that I just watched, and I'm having trouble, but I remember that Rogor had a girlfriend who had a dress,
her name was Jade,
a hot blonde who had a boob window.
We don't know her name.
I just said her name is Jade.
Oh, I thought her name was Boob Window.
He expunged that data from his mind. It's like within 10 seconds. But at some point, okay, help me out. At some point, I want to say Shorty and Armstrong go to a bar. And Shorty,
they go to like a speakeasy. It's like a gambling, an illegal gambling bar.
Right, because they got to pay
to ran by the Don guy.
Right.
Yeah. And so we can only imagine that's the 18,000 Kruger that Shorty owes to Rogor.
Okay.
It's because they gamble.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. And Shorty puts money in the jukebox, and this holographic woman appears.
Very holographic.
Now, you're telling me that the holographic woman who sings this wretched song and can't dance to save her life.
Because it's the actress. It's the actress that actually sings those songs. They did not hire an extra singer. They had the actress.
It's coming back to me that she may have had another singing performance later in the movie.
She did. She had two. She had one live.
Yeah.
She had a hologram one that he listened to because obviously on the space station.
It's wretched.
You guys escaped for a smoke break and me and Travis saw it and I said, oh my God, I said, is that Jane? He goes, yeah, that's her.
That's her.
And the music credit.
Well, that's one of those things like, I mean, right now, like, hey, let's one of us produce a musical single with our main actress.
Well, what Travis just said too is what you said a couple times during the movie, and I think is right.
If we made this movie, we'd be proud of it. It's something you cut your teeth on.
This is what this movie is, you know what it was. Yeah, it's shitty, but if you made it, you'd be like,
it is no Star Crash.
Would you look at that? Are you sure? No Star Crash?
I think Star Crash achieved like a level of absurdity that this one
tried to take it too
seriously. It was more grounded.
No, I don't know. I think it just doesn't have a variety.
They tried to be more epic.
Star Crash had.
Yeah, because well, they like, tried
what
to be.
In the fuck.
But it did. I mean, but see, I'd say it's the like thing close. Is, what I appreciate about this movie is it's a sci-fi space boxing, but. Like, to me, it achieved what it needed to achieve. It had a montage.
Okay.
It's a sports movie.
It's a sports movie. So it had... It had underdog fighters.
Humans have not won in the arena.
It had the montage of him rising up in the ranks.
And I like how they showed the guy who was the old golden champion. Like, that's the last human to win.
His name is Steve McGruger. I don't know his sequence.
Well, he had to be 107 then because we haven't won in 50 years.
He was 78.
Training sequence. Okay. Right. It had him, you know, it had a full fight where he lost.
Wait, so are you saying that this is a cliche, formulaic sports movie?
It definitely is.
It is.
But what I like about
that's
it.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
But you know what? I like it, though.
All he needed was rocks in a net. Pulling up.
I'm telling you, I like how, because I mean, really, okay, like, I mean, in a fucking nutshell, I like how, I mean, yeah, it's a 97 fucking minute movie, but really all that happens is like, okay, dude owes money, guy makes money by signing up with the boxing management, they start winning a bunch of fights, then Rogor, the mafia guy, the mafia don, he's like, I'll get my singer girlfriend to seduce him, and like,
him a Mickey.
And that's what I like, right? I mean, that's every kid's wish from the movies is like, this hot girl's gonna want his fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. The girl wants, but then she like slips him a fucking
Mickey. But it's PG.
PG, which I mean.
So she gets his sheet.
Yeah,
aluminum foil,
silver aluminum foil, shiny.
Just like Superman 2.
Yeah,
we get back in. It's like that blanket that they give you if you survive like a fire.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, but not real. That though, because the one those are a lot thinner. You know, those seem more like a thinner. Like those are like
I want to get fucking, them fucking sheets.
I don't know.
It's a comforter. Silver sheets. It's a silver.
They look like they're silk silver sheets that I kind of want to get.
So she like slips him.
I'm just gonna walk away from that.
So she slips him a Mickey, right? She's supposed to drug him, but I don't know what. Obviously, whatever.
She didn't kill him. It drugged him. It fucked him up pretty bad.
Before his match with Horn.
Yeah, before Horn, the main contender,
the Apollo Creed of this.
The Apollo Creed.
This is a formulaic boxing,
it does it well though. It's formulaic, but I think it does it well.
I agree.
When I was a kid, Rocky was one of the first movies I fucking grew up with, and just the way they actually dramatized the boxing.
This is sci-fi Rocky.
I'm not interested in sports, but the way Rocky dramatizes boxing, I think these guys do a fucking okay job.
Yeah, it's okay. It's sci-fi Rocky.
They get up there really close when he's fighting Sloth, the big cricket guy. You feel that fight. Maybe more. I mean, maybe that's the weak part of this movie. Is you feel the Sloth fight a little bit more than the Horn fight.
Yeah,
which is that your main focus?
Yeah.
But you feel that Sloth.
And this is like it's like MMA fighting too, because there's kicking, and
they get knocked out of the ring, which is a little Karate Kid for me. In fact, I made a joke about Mr. Miyagi, because they knock him out of the ring, and that counts as a point. So it's almost like martial arts.
But this is the other thing. Okay, so I mean, for our listeners, I mean, we're characterizing it as a boxing movie, and there is boxing in it. But I want to say there's maybe 3 matches in the whole movie.
There's a montage where he makes his way to the top.
How many fights are there in Rocky?
I don't know.
At least three monsters. Yeah. I mean, that's what this movie is. You watch this movie for the monsters. Oh, that's a cool monster.
Yeah.
Look at that monster. Imagine what he looks like.
You watch this movie for the space monster.
It's character design is this movie. I'm sorry. It's a creature feature, 100%. Mm-hmm. I got to agree.
It is very much a creature feature.
But I will say, during the training montage, I felt like Rocky III. Where Mickey goes, you've been fighting a bunch of tomato cans. I mean, because these guys are all smaller than him. He's like,
flip guys, I couldn't win.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can't win.
Yeah.
I mean, you
want me to say it? I'm scared, right? All right, I'm scared. I'm scared.
The problem that I thought that the montage was kind of weak, the music was kind of weak.
There was no survivor.
The music was weak because it was Richard. I'm sorry, Richard Band. I swear to God, Richard Band has the most memorable horror music since John Carpenter. I'm sorry.
Bullshit.
I have to say, at least to me.
What's his most Puppet memorable
Master.
Score?
Puppet oh. Master. Ba da 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 da
da
da da da da da da da da da da da da.
So you'd say better than Goblin?
I remember they ripped off Psycho for Reanimator.
Yeah, I remember the ripoff. Yeah, which he's like, oh, it was more of an almond.
You ripped it off.
When you say almond, that's fancy.
But I think Puppet Master, at least to me.
I know that music.
I get it. There's tubular bells. Yeah, okay, you know, I got you. But the Puppet Master music's pretty memorable.
I can hear it now.
It's pretty memorable.
It's very synthesizer-ish. Yeah,
so I'm sorry, but... So...
Real quick, favorite horror movie music?
Halloween, John Carpenter.
Bam, me too. Big tall, Gary.
I'm going with Henry Mancini's fucking Friday the 13th, dude. That is classic, dude. That's Psycho. That was Psycho.
Mancini was the Pink Panther. Manfredini's
Friday the 13th. I'm sorry.
Answer the question.
Favorite horror. I mean, now that you said Halloween, I gotta say.
You gotta go Halloween?
Even though that we know
Halloween such a better.
Halloween came from Goblin's Deep Red score.
We did realize that.
We figured that out.
Actually, watching. This is so far off the fucking subject. That's watching right. The Halloween 2 commentary really puts fucking Carpenter down a notch. It does.
Just
don't say I'm sorry. Don't watch Carpenter's it. Well, okay, wait, but this movie, we gotta talk about it.
Yeah.
What's so, Reno, so, okay.
Wait, Tom's wait, favorite let, horror let, movie let score. Tom what do you want? Horror movie music. Hello, do you remember?
You know, probably. Probably Suspiria.
Nice.
Suspiria is so loud. By Goblin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good answer.
But it's good, but yeah, it's loud and like right in your face.
Yeah, that is very true.
Yeah. It's one that I kind of, I mean, like that and Psycho Goblin are probably the only two.
Oh, Psycho's really the greatest.
Like, Psycho's good.
They really like stand out in my mind.
Well, the Elm Street music. Yeah.
Or Dream Warriors.
Into that, so John Carpenter says, suck it raw.
But like I said, but like he said, dude, you should listen to Deep Red. It sounds like John Carpenter just took the Deep Red and just put a few extra notes on it.
Yeah,
it's the same fucking thing.
That could very well be, yeah. But I would go Halloween, then I would go Nightmare, then I would go Friday.
So yeah, this movie doesn't have great music, but
it's terrible music. Actually,
would you even say good music?
It has really lackluster.
89, late 80s era. But
Richard,
synthesizer.
He was learning.
again,
you could actually get Full Moon puts out. I want to say there's two volumes.
Does he do Subspecies?
Richard Band.
No, Subspecies was what's this? What should be?
It feels like Richard Band did a lot of the Charles
Richard Band did a lot of the Full Moon.
Well, I also have the Killjoy trilogy.
Gotta be Richard Band.
And I'm bringing that in one day for this.
Did he do Metal Storm? Because Charles Band produced this movie. It was a 3D movie in 1983. It came right after Jaws 3D. They had Mac Alberg, the cinematographer on this, did Metal Storm, The Destruction of Jared.
What?
And I want to say, it was directed by Charles Band. I bet you it had music by Charles Band. I'm betting.
I have a fucking scene.
Metal Storm by Charles Band.
Is that a mech movie?
No. No, but he did one of those. It was called Robot Jocks.
He did Robot Jocks?
Yeah, he produced it.
I got to tell you what. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen. I grew up in Germany. Robot Jocks was the first toy line I fucking hit on.
There was like, toys for that?
Oh, yeah. That's what it came from. It was a toy line, then a movie.
Get the fuck
Robot
out of
Jocks
here.
Was a toy line, then a fucking movie. No, Robot a Jocks is the movie. Fucking man. Robot Jocks.
Societies settled their differences instead of going to war.
Fight. The they Robot love, Jocks go, toys were all like yeah. wind up.
Kind of like Real Steel.
Okay, no. Thank you. I want to thank Tom for bringing a Real Steel. Okay, the reason I want him to bring
really?
A Real Steel. Well, because okay, Real Steel. Is actually based on my fucking one of my favorite Twilight Zone episodes. There's an episode called Steel, which is based on a novel or a short story by Richard Burton.
Is it Richard Block?
Memoirs?
Robert Block?
Robert. Oh shit.
Author of Psycho, Robert Block?
Who? No, it's not. Who wrote the short story Steel? Captain Google,
it's
anybody?
If it's not Robert Block.
Okay, this Twilight Zone episode, Steel. I mean, this is why this movie really fascinates me.
Richard Matheson.
A great writer of a lot of Twilight Zone episodes.
Yep.
So this Twilight Zone episode is about in the future where men only fight with robots. And this like poor down and out group of fighters, they only got like a second or third series robot when everybody's already fighting like 10th or 11th or whatever the fuck, you know, they're already way advanced. So their robot like shits out during like they need this fucking money. And the manager of the robot used to be a human fighter back in the fucking day. So he's like, God damn it, we need this fucking money. I'm going to pretend to be a robot and I'm going to fight this fucking machine. It's like a classic fucking John Henry story, right? But Real Steel, the shitty fucking like modern day remake with John or Hugh Jackman, just fucked that whole idea. But that original Twilight Zone episode does actually lead to one of the reasons
Lee
why.
Lee Marvin in it? The original?
Lee Marvin. Yeah, yeah for sure, it. Man. That original episode is a fucking classic of American television, man. Classic. just because it's that whole man against... I like that. That's what I like. I like the man human... against humans against the universe.
Robots fighting monsters.
But even... Yeah, exactly. It would just... I mean, even beyond the robots and just humans, us against the galaxy, right? Because, I mean, this is really... If you want to, like, bring it down to mankind's a continual fight to explore the further expanses of the universe or whatever. I mean, yeah, you're sure, this is just boxing, it's blah, 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 blah. But to me, it is a metaphor for that whole idea of it's the human ingenuity versus the technology we've already fucking created and, like, what we can, you know...
The human spirit, the drive, you know...
But the end of this movie really, yeah, really emphasizes that point because, like, at the end, they mess up the handicap.
The handicap that keeps
and the... At the very end, they destroy the handicap. So there's no handicap on the human, there's no handicap on Horn, and because there's no handicap... The human's able to beat Horn.
Well, they try to make him weaker. Because, I mean, I think Horn would be stronger without the handicap. So he would.
But he's
a half a cybernetic
beam. Yeah, but when they kill the handicap beams, Armstrong is able to beat Horn as they are.
But is that... Well, without I was going to say, is that because Horn's already tired out? He's tuckered from already being able to fight at his full strength? So he's trying to fucking beat the shit out of Steve Armstrong?
Are we really seeing a true contest?
No.
But we are, because the handicap equals it out between species. Like, right now, okay... I'm like 170 or 180 something versus, like, you know, one of you two are like 2-something, right?
Gee, what the?
I'm 257.
250 fucking seven. Come on, Colin, don't lie. So I'm just saying the idea that, you know, regardless of strength,
there's always a
weight. Weight always will overpower, no matter what. So I love that idea, actually, that some fucking weird, strong alien will have a handicap beam that will somehow equal out the strength of a weaker alien. This is why I think this movie's like, I like this movie because this movie doesn't sit you down like a dumb fuck and, like, really sit there and explain that this is what the handicap does.
Right.
You're supposed to fucking watch the movie and you get it. You know, it's like there's a red beam on one contender or a blue beam on the other contender.
Yeah, and I love how in the close-ups, they're never there.
they're lightly. You see the blue more than the red.
I did like when you see the two contestants together, you could see the red and blue mixing. I did like that part.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but by the time they got the close-ups, they were like, fuck it, we're just not going
to
do it.
Well, yeah, they probably didn't want the blue and the red just to be so overpowering.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. This movie's always captured my imagination. It's not like I said, it's more like a fascinating TV episode, right? If this was like 45 minutes, you can cut this down.
Yeah,
like,
but that's what I'm saying. This has been done probably after, because we looked up, I mean, two of the actors from this are in Star Trek TV series.
Mm-hmm.
One of the actresses is in Babylon 5. So, like, both of those shows, I'm sure at some point did this exact story.
But I'm still, it's more the Rocky. I mean, this movie to me feels more like Rocky than it feels like any sci-fi.
No, but just what you're saying, it's more like the
boxing aspect. It's a sports movie.
You know, I've seen this done cheaper. You know, like on where they only had to do it, you know, they had like a week, basically. Every TV show shoots for like a week.
Is that always the Spock and Kirk fight, right?
Oh, there was that one too. No, I want to say the one from Voyager was like they had whoever it was
Star Trek.
Had to fight. It was The Rock had a special
Dwayne
guest.
Johnson?
Yeah, had a special guest appearance as the Chipotle? Thing. It was either Chakotay or Seven of Nine. They put her in the ring with.
The
Rock, and it was like the same thing, or they were abducted. You know, somebody was abducted, putting this thing in the air, like you have to fight.
You know, fight. Oh, space
be better.
That's just like that's just a classic sci-fi.
Yeah, it's in every
classic.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But that's why. But like I said, I feel more the Rocky inspiration to this than I ever do any of the other sci-fi. Yeah, because
this is like blowing it out into like a feature. It's like you could take a little more time, and we're saying a little more time.
Yeah, you get a montage. You got a training sequence. You love this
fucking montage. Jesus Christ! Every time you open your mouth, Tom, you say montage. Montage.
Hey, we're talking about.
It has a montage every time. Jesus Christ. But so this is a plus in your category. It has the montage.
Yeah.
It's like it's 4-star. Yeah.
You know what's so interesting though, and I think that you guys are all touching on it right now, is
wait, got a montage.
If no, we're done with the Cronenberger, the
now that we know we're doing two shows in one night.
Cronenbergers along with Mark Wahlbergers.
Yeah, because someone snitched on us.
We're doing two shows Cronenbergers and Wahlbergers.
And Bob's Burgers.
Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
But no, okay. Thank you, Gary, because that's touching my point.
Okay.
The idea that if you put this on Adult Swim today and spread it out over like 15-minute episodes for 12 episodes.
That'd be genius.
Like, yeah, people would watch this.
Wait. Are you saying just taking this movie, cutting it up?
Yeah.
Or redoing it?
No.
It's like a children's hospital kind of thing.
I totally see what you're saying.
No,
for sure.
I'm saying don't change
it. Like split it up like YouTube?
Yeah. Do not change a thing. Don't reproduce it. Just put this movie out in 12 episodes for 15 minutes.
15-minute segments?
Yeah.
Is there that much time in it?
Yeah.
97 minutes.
I'm sure they could figure it out with commercials.
So that would be, what, six segments? 97 minutes, 15-minute episodes?
All right, well, then put it out for 6 episodes. But, I mean, people would watch it today. Would. Yeah.
I was even thinking, I was like, dude, if you would, like, I mean, just do a fucking comic book about this. If you really animated all these ideas out to, like, I mean, yeah, the costumes are great. The alien costumes are great. But if you really thought out the backgrounds. I was like, I really think this is an interesting story. I just do. I mean, it's not a complex story.
I don't think it's an interesting story.
It's fun. A guy starts boxing, and then the evil gangster gets his girlfriend. So
the James Marshall Gladiator with Cuba Gooding Jr. I mean, but in this case, I mean, if you were to look at this like critically, there is like very little character development. I mean, like nobody's.
He's a hero.
Yeah, he's like, this guy is a hero because he's a blonde,
first moment. You know, blonde, square chinned,
muscle bound hero. I'm saying that that's fine for exploitation, which is basically what this was. This is before. This may have played theatrically somewhere before.
I don't believe it.
In the '80s, this stuff actually happened. Today, the Town of Dreaded Sundown goes direct to fucking video.
Well, that's VOD. But
in the '80s, I think this stuff actually played like in the New Beverly Cinema.
Well, I mean, I guess this isn't necessarily the way to prove of it, but it's like there's not a 16:9 version. There's only the TV version. This is a video version.
That's the other thing. We have the Shout Factory apparently put this out.
Is this Shout?
Shout Factory does this. I've gotten like some of the they have like the Kung Fu Marathon, which is like a bunch of Kung Fu movies. This is the sci-fi marathon, so it's a bunch of these 80s, sci-fi things. And they just go to the VHS master was.
And I do want
probably like a beta tape.
But I do want to
run it off and like, here it is on DVD. Boom.
I want everybody to know, though, how fucking thrilled I am that this came out on DVD. This is one of those movies that I tracked down the VHS version.
It is the VHS version.
But it doesn't matter. I'm just happy that it came out. There's so many movies, Forgotten Time, that slips through the cracks. Yeah. I am fucking ecstatic that this one at least came out in a digital format.
This movie smells like it slipped in.
You son of a bitch.
That might bring us around to wrap ups, I think, before we get ahead of ourselves.
We could do wrap ups.
We actually got more mileage out of it than I thought we would.
Definitely. It's a fun movie. It's like, this is that separation. It's like, you know what? You want to be a fucking cinemaphile, whatever. Hey, go do that. You want to just like movies. Just
you want a movie about space boxing? You got it!
Dude, I got a movie to recommend to you, Tom. It's called Space Truckers. You should look it up.
With Dennis Hopper.
With Dennis Hopper.
Does it have a montage?
Well, it's not a sports movie.
It's not a sports movie.
You only need a sport.
You only need
to watch Gladiator with what's his name? James Marshall from Twin Peaks.
That's a
hell of a montage. Hell of a montage in that movie.
You got the right name? I don't know. There was
Whatever. Cuba Gooding Gladiator. There's a Gallerina.
It's called Gladiator.
I know there's another boxing movie called Arena with I think it's about women's boxing.
It's Pam Grier. It's the 70s, I think, if we're talking about the same one where she's for it's like in some like in the Philippines or something, they're forced.
Isn't all of her and Sid Haig's movies in that era in the Philippines?
I think there's another Arena about women's boxing. We'd have to look it up.
And there's also a Western called Arena, but whatever. Yeah. So we wrap up Arena. Short episode. Holy crap. But Brent.
Comfortable for this.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is going to be a long one. Here we go.
Here we go. We're diving in. I appreciate, Tom, all of your...
Oh my God!
Your story
alive.
I wonder if the microphone picked that up.
I always have to call these out. My stomach just made a questionable sound.
And we fed him tonight.
He's about to go to the bathroom. He's gonna have to make this a quick one.
What you fed me is about to come up.
Stay
tuned for more. No,
stay tuned.
Tom, I appreciate all of your. I like that you understand and you enjoy the storytelling tropes of these types of films. And I also enjoy, I saw this, I watching this film tonight, I saw it as the people that made Arena saw Rocky and they saw Star Wars. And I'm guessing it was the studio that decided to mash the two together in some sort
of... It was all Charles Band, baby.
They're
looking for a sales.
Exactly.
Here's the poster. Go make the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Colin.
About the depth of it.
They're like, hey, we got this poster. We got this guy. We got this girl. We got this look. Let's go do it.
That is
a hero. You're a fucking hero.
We
got this guy. We got this girl. I see the girl with the boob window, and he's like, "Oh, this guy,
dude,
what?"
It's because I look up to He's a leader. It's not anything to do with sexuality. He's a leader. He showed mankind that they can win. They can win in the intergalactic boxing. Finisher.
Okay, well, I think that this movie should have been called Star Rocky, maybe?
Star Rocky, starring Rocky.
But I think that it does have its charm about it. Like definitely the characters, the monsters that we see in it, the creatures. It is a creature feature, and you are delivered. You are paid off like in spades for that. I mean the whole like the what is it? Skull.
Sloth
is the one I'm thinking of.
Big grasshopper.
Yeah. It's like a big cricket. It's amazing. I mean, I don't know how many people are working this thing, but it's incredible.
It's almost a shame there's not like a special feature or a commentary to talk a little bit about it. Just to be like, fuck, what the hell?
There needs to be something. Yeah.
There should be something.
It's really good. And I think that if you've come this, you know, we're in our second year, if you've come this far with us, I would recommend to you, our loyal viewers, listeners, to to watch this movie, and then don't send me any hate mail. Because
it's coming. It's coming.
It's with a heavy heart that I recommend this, but if you know me at all, I recommend a lot of stuff.
Woo!
And I think that like you should check it out, but do it with a grain of salt.
And a lot of alcohol.
And a lot of alcohol.
Maybe some friends.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah. Tom, what'd you think?
Well, I mean, Travis, like, sold me on this movie when he said space boxing. I mean, I was like, fuck, space boxing? Hell yeah. Rocky in space. It also helped that I was, like, fully lit when I watched
it. It does.
We can actually light you on fire right
now. I mean, I was, fuck. Wow, I was, like, good and drunk when I watched this movie, and, we were having a blast. We were just kind of just ripping into it and kind of, we were having fun. And, I mean, I like the monster designs. I mean, it's Rocky in space. I mean, it has a montage. It has a training.
Jesus Christ! I knew what's coming.
I gotta say the montage again, you know, because you gotta have a montage.
Team
America. For those of you who aren't, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's got a fight where he loses. It's got a fight where he wins, and it's Rocky in space. It's a fun time. It could be set in the Star Wars universe. It's something that it's just like a little side thing and just a little piece, you know. I enjoyed it and I recommend it. You might want to be drunk. You might be drunk when you watch it, but, you know, I mean, yeah, I recommend it.
Okay. Alright, I'm going to say you definitely better be drunk when you watch it. I would like to say I equate this movie to a gift from grandma or a baby diaper. You're not sure what's in it, but you're pretty sure you're not going to like it. So that being said, there are great creature designs. There's some fun parts to it. Again, we all sat around with a couple drinks in us, laughing, having some fun with it. You can have fun with it in that area. If you're looking for well-acted, great movie, it didn't hit it with me. I'd never seen it until tonight. And again, I'm glad because I didn't waste 97 minutes of my life until tonight. I'm sorry. Normally, I'm right there with you, buddy, but this is just one of those I didn't see a lot of point to it. There were some cool fights. Other than that, it kind of wandered around. I didn't really see what... other than normal things you see in every other space or boxing movie. And again, but like Travis said, and I think this is a really good point, if we made this movie, we'd be proud of it. You know, well, you guys, I don't make movies. I stand around street corners talking on phones. But but if you guys made it, though, seriously, this is the kind of thing you cut your teeth on. It's not a horrible movie. I can't, with a good conscience, recommend it. I don't hate it, but I can't recommend it. And that's about it for me.
Damn, Gary burned me. I got one for Brett. Gary burned me.
Wait, you got one from Tom.
And Tom, yeah. Well, I knew I had you. You were
he was in, like, as soon as you said what the concept was.
Space, it's boxing. Got a montage.
Win.
I'm in. Yeah.
With a montage. Does it have a montage in it? Yes.
Hell yeah.
Sold.
Sports montage?
Yeah. I mean, okay, so as we've described, the conditions under which this movie was observed was under extreme
alcohol,
you know,
duress.
Yeah. So, like, I remember even while I was watching, you know, we turned the lights down and we're watching this movie, we're yakking the whole way through it, not vomiting. We're just talking amongst ourselves the entire way through it. And you know, so I was like, wait, at some point here, I actually have to pay attention to what's happening so I can talk about this later and be like, this character's name was what? And they're doing who? And how did this happen? You know, and
So, I mean, I guess, you know, as we're putting it together, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that scene. I remember this scene. So, yeah, you know, I feel a little more alert now than I did when I was watching the movie. While I was watching it, I had a good time, right? It was fun to, you know, but this is, again, drunk, hanging out with your buddies, watching this movie, not really paying attention to it. This is like, yeah. I think this is it, because this is the way I enjoyed Girlfriend from Hell and didn't enjoy some of your other ones. It's like, you got to hit me like at the exact right thing. This one
it's
did.
It'll be 11 o'clock.
It's daylight savings time. Yeah. That's what threw you off.
I always got to be the second pick. That's what I said. Always the second.
Well, showing. Yeah, but I mean, it does. I mean, so like, it does have some legitimate qualities, which I think, you know, we need to actually, you know, talk about here, which is, or, you know, like highlight. Which is, like, I am surprised. I got to tell you, I am surprised by the artistry involved in the alien makeup effects and design. It's like they're better than the budget level of this movie would lead you to believe. You're like, Reno, whatever it's on, fucking, you know, four disc, blah. And then you look at it, and it's like, okay, you know, the set design's like, meh, and the acting and the story is like, meh. But the aliens are like, when they show up, you're like, oh, that's actually like pretty decent practical effect. You know, it's like that one's pretty good. I mean, that's probably the only real. Well,
that's where the budget went.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only real thing that you'd say. But, you know, it captured my attention, I guess, while I was watching it, while these things were on. So I would give it a recommendation with an asterisk, which is basically like, you know, again, like Girlfriend from Hell. Under the right circumstances, you can get a lot of mileage of enjoyment out of this movie. But otherwise, you know, I think, you know, you're just to go look it up on YouTube because we're talking about it and you're like, oh, I got to fucking watch this. You may be let down. But, you know, so again, recreate these circumstances and I think you'll have a blast.
I mean, everybody said the alien designs, and that's what this movie is, really. It's the alien. The alien designs capture your imagination, just like, I mean, you can see them drawn like in a fucking comic book. You're just like, oh shit, it's like a weird lizard guy, and it's like a cyborg that spins around, and like, I mean, you can really just start to imagine like who these creatures are just through, I mean, and to me, that is the power of Star Wars. You see these weird creatures just sitting at a table, and you're like, oh, fuck, what's this guy's deal? You know, just how interesting they look makes you a little bit more intrigued than you'd be at any, you know, for any other reason, you know?
Yeah, like this other movie, Nightbreed.
Yeah, we were just, last week, I want to say. Last week, we were talking about Nightbreed.
Oh, the illusion's dead.
I want to say it was last week. It was way ago last week.
It was 7 days ago.
Yeah. So
I'm going to Galaxy Far, far away.
So, I mean, it is the idea that these character designs just intrigue you a little bit more. It's the idea that it's like, oh shit, what's this guy look like? What's his power? Where does he come from? What's his? And this movie doesn't even give you that information, which maybe why it is the more intriguing is because it just acts like, hey, here's another fighter. But this other fighter is like, what the fuck is this guy? He's like a frog and a. In a fucking cybernetic suit, he's like a grasshopper guy. He's like a, what is this? Who's the sparring partner? Looks like a big armadillo. Well, you know, you can like pick out.
At the risk of not sending Tom off, that's how I felt in the montage. They showed some really cool, different kind of creatures. But
yeah, you kind of wish like, oh shit, it could have been like a segment. Or I wonder if that segment wasn't good. That's why they put it in the montage. But when it comes to the story, I mean, yeah, I would say this matches up to almost any like television episode story. I mean, like fuck watching TV. If you just want an hour and a half of an okay story and somewhat, I mean, watch this fucking movie because it's better than television, or if not equal to, because it doesn't. You know, I mean,
whoa.
Well,
you got to qualify that. It's better than an episode.
I think it's better. I think.
Or Laverne and Shirley.
I think.
Is it better than True Detective?
True Detective took 8 episodes to really come to a.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's
what I'm just saying. I'm just saying that this is, you know, if you're gonna watch, if you're gonna watch something that's science fiction, that is, I love the idea
you
that
you gotta scratch your space boxing itch. Watch this movie.
There you go.
I mean, I love the idea that this. I mean, I want to say it was when Titan AE came out. Remember that cartoon? Mm-hmm. Titan?
Yep.
It was when that movie came out. I was like, why the fuck does every movie that has to do with space, all we do is follow the prophesized one? And that just seems so boring to me all of a sudden. They're like, God, so you only matter in the universe if you're some fucking holy, like, prophesized fucking dude that's going to bring a balance to the universe. And I don't buy that. That's not most people's story.
Even though I'm space truckers.
Exactly. I mean, even though I'm not, even though space is, I mean, it doesn't always need to be the ultimate end all of every fucking situation for every movie. So I still want to go to space and explore galaxies without it always having to be all the ultimate good versus the ultimate evil.
Sometimes it's just a mining colony and, you know, something.
Yeah, or whatever. And you do get that from individual episodes of fucking Stargate, Babylon 5, Star Trek, Firefly. But just the idea that they did this in 89, it's just like, dude, these guys, I mean, they were okay with, they found the drama, and let's just have a fucking situation in space. I mean, the situation in itself might not be so great and grand, but if we put it behind fucking cyborgs and monsters, and just like any other social commentary movie, yeah, your social commentary about civil rights might not be so fucking interesting. Oh, but you make it about zombies and civil rights?
Right.
Ooh, you found a little something. It's just a little something to get the entertainment. And if anything, I mean, we don't fucking learn how to live through movies. So entertainment is usually the top priority over individual life fucking, like, influence or whatever. So I think this is a fun movie. I mean, great, not by any chance, but just fun. I have a lot of fun with this movie. I think everybody can if they like space and boxing.
Space and boxing.
Montage. Comes with every fucking sports movie. So,
those words.
I believe that's it.
All right, so that's Arena on the Saturday Night Freak Show. If you want to drop us a line, we're at SaturdayNightFreakShow.com, or sorry, Facebook.com/SaturdayNightFreakShow. Drop us a line there. We'll read it on the air. You can hear us on a bunch of places, iTunes, Stitcher, Castrol, or Player FM, and more. And next week, we're going to be back with Gary's pick. Gary, what are we going to watch?
John Carpenter's They Live.
Woo!
Obey. I'm here to kick ass and chew bubble gum.
Guess what?
I'm all out of bubble gum.
Heck yeah.
All right. So that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. And until then, all right.
Should be a lot better if there was.